Blog Talk Radio. Much. That's all I needed to know. Okay, so Dr. Reggie,
yes.
Don't you love this new system?
I don't know yet.
It frees us up. It frees our hands up and just everything. It's really cool. So if you guys have any difficulty hearing us, you can let us know in the chat room. Or press one on your telephone keypad and let us know. I hope you guys had a great, great weekend. I am so certain that there was a manifestation in your life over the weekend because you have been practicing these principles. And I know something good happened to you this weekend. I just know it. I feel it. So listen, if you're in the chat room, please tell us about it. If you are dialing in, please press 1 and share with us the miracle that happened in your life this weekend. If you want to call in, let me remind you of the number. It's 914-338-0590. How many of you guys listen to Oracle Friday? Oh, my God. Wasn't Adele off the chain? I mean, I just love Adele. What I need you guys to do is to send me emails requesting Adele once a month. We just have to kind of spur her on. She's open to it. But I need you guys to say, oh, you were terrific. Please come to Circles of Prosperity once a month. We have to start a campaign to get her. I just love her. I love how she takes the time with you guys, how she uses emotional freedom technique. And so many of us have blockages, emotional blockages. You know, we experienced things when we were children, and we carry that stuff with us all the time. And here we are working the law of attraction, but we've got all this old stinking thinking inside of us, and it affects our energetic vibration. And she is such a powerful healer. So please send me an email at Cynthia, well, here's an easy one, info@circlesofprosperity.org. Info at circlesofprosperity.org, telling and asking for Adele Wang to be on the show at least once a month, okay? I would appreciate it so much. Dr. Reggie, you want to take us into our opening prayer? and drink some coffee.
Thank you so much. This is a prayer first. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Earth Day, Monday, in the year 2013, reminding us we are all creatures of the earth and we're connected to everything in nature. The birds, the water, the flowers, the trees, the oceans, the mountains, everything is magnificent on this planet, keeping us alive, letting us breathe and have movement. We thank you for that power. And to heal ourselves and to heal others with prayer and encouragement and contemplation and love, above all else, love. Thank you for manifestation. Thank you for the power of prosperity, which is in our lives all around us, sometimes invisibly, looking us right in the face and we don't see it. So thank you so much for the visibility power of prosperity and abundance. And let us appreciate the abundance we have already to exponentially grow more.
Amen.
We believe it is so, and so it is.
And so it is, and so it is. So, you know, we are in this wonderful, wonderful study of the law of attraction. And, of course, the masters of the law of attraction and teaching is the teachings of Abraham with Esther and Jerry Hicks. I've been pulling a lot of information from Money and the Law of Attraction, Learning How to Attract Wealth, Health, and Happiness. We were supposed to move into our well-being today, but I decided to really kind of focus on our careers and profitable sources of pleasure. And I titled this lesson today, To Dare to Ask for What You Want. And what triggered that was a question that Jerry asked Abraham, and we'll get to that a little bit later. But Jerry, you know, I always go through and I give you some of the questions that Jerry is asking of Abraham. I kind of love the structure of this book because he asks questions that either you or I would want to ask. And so he starts out, you know, a lot of times when we're talking about the law of attraction and money, it really, a lot of people that are attracted to this teaching are in business for themselves, but most of us have jobs, right? And so Jerry says, how would you suggest we know if we've chosen the right career, and how can we be successful at the career we've chosen? And so Abraham says, well, what is your definition of a career? And Jerry says, well, a career is like a life's work, or it's an occupation that people could throw themselves into and put the best and the most of themselves into. And of course, in most cases, people would also want to get a financial return on that. And so Abraham is then saying, well, what are you meaning by life's work? And Jerry says, well, you know, some work that people would plan to spend the rest of their lives doing, like a job or a profession or a business or a trade. And so Abraham says, well, are you telling us that it is a widespread belief or accepted desire of your culture to choose a career and expect to live happily ever after within one topic forevermore? You guys breathe on that. I thought that was kind of cute. Abraham has a sense of humor. Are you telling us that it is a widespread belief or at least an accepted desire of your culture to choose a career and expect to live happily ever after within one topic forevermore? And so Jerry says, well, as long as I can remember, it has been traditionally so. From the time I was very young, people began asking me what I was going to be when I grew up. It is interesting to me now to realize that even when I was very young, the adults around me had instilled a sense of urgency in me to choose a career. And I remember watching the milkman delivering the beautiful, delicious milk in glass bottles and thinking, as I watched him drive away, that that would be my choice for a career. And then I witnessed a policeman actually making my mother stop her car by running her off the road. And I was in such admiration of anyone who was able to get my mother to do anything that for a while I decided that I want to be a policeman.
Oh, my God.
And not long after that, a doctor set my broken arm, and I thought, ooh, I'd like to be a doctor. And then our house caught fire, and the idea of being a fireman seemed like the best idea. And even after becoming what many would consider to be an adult, I was still observing and considering the multitude of options from my ever-changing perspective. And so those around me were a bit disappointed that I kept moving from thing to thing to thing rather than just settling on one thing for my life, work, or career. How many of you have just kind of explored all sorts of opportunities trying to find yourself? I am so guilty of that. I call myself trying to find myself. I wasn't lost. We are never lost, are we? No. But, you know, from my perspective, I wanted to explore. I was so excited to be here on planet Earth. I thought, oh, wouldn't it be fun to be a flight attendant? Oh, wouldn't it be fun to be an actress? Oh, wouldn't it be fun to be a secretary? I mean, I explored all of these things because I thought it would be fun. That's exactly how I moved into those experiences. How many of you chose things that just because you thought it would be fun? How many of you chose a career because you thought it would be fun? Or a business because you thought it would be fun? You know, I used to date a guy that owned a yacht, and it was so beautiful being out on the ocean and, you know, just going and get on a boat and go where you want to go and fish and catch crab and everything. I said, I'm going to start a yacht chartering business and have parties. That's all I wanted to do was charter yachts and have parties. And it was fun, absolute fun. I didn't want to do it for the rest of my life. But at that moment, that's what I chose to do. So, but we in this society have a tendency to want to stick people and really say, oh, this person is successful because they have stayed on this job for 45 years and they've earned their retirement and they have a pension and they are successful. You're a failure because you bounced around from one thing to another. I went through that guilt trip, too. How many of you went through that guilt trip? You know, let's hear what Abraham has to say about this. Many people, as they read your childhood story of the events of your life, influencing your ideas of what you wanted to be when you grew up, might call your ever-changing ideas childish or unrealistic. But what we want to acknowledge is that you are always inspired from the events of your life. And when you allow yourself to follow the flow of those inspired ideas, your potential for a joyous experience is much greater than if you were to select your career based on other reasons that people use to justify their choices, such as family tradition or income potential. Family tradition and income potential. You know, how many of you have noticed that doctors, a lot of that come from families of doctors, or teachers, like in my family history, there are a lot of teachers, and getting your master's and getting your PhD. I come from a family of educators. Everybody wanted to be an educator. So how many of you know families that are structured that way? And when you break out of that mold, your family really kind of labels you as a black sheep. When you break out of that mold, Abraham is saying he's actually moving towards telling us, or they are actually moving towards telling us, that we need to be open to the desires of our heart. And why is that so important? Because those desires, that inspiration is coming from the non-physical you, equaling and meaning source, equaling and meaning God or the universe. It is an inspiration, and it is your purpose at that point in time. Your purpose may change over time, or your ultimate purpose may require that you have that experience at that particular time so that you can grow to the next. I can see the connection of all of the inspired things that I chose to do early on in life and how they're impacting what I am doing now, how they developed me, and those experiences developed me and molded me for what I am doing right now. Okay, let's move on to what he's saying. It is not surprising that so many have a difficult deciding what they will do for the rest of their lives. Why? Because you are a multifaceted being, and your dominant intent is to enjoy your absolute basis of freedom. And in your quest for joyful experiences, to experience expansion and growth. In other words, without a real perception of freedom, you will never be joyful. And without joy, you cannot experience true expansion. So childish as it may seem to many, it is natural that your life inspires your next adventure and your next and your next. Wow. How many of you are being set free right now? Understanding that your flightiness, the thing that has been, you know, everybody has made you wrong for, is really why you're here, because it moves you into your joy. And when you are in your joy, you're going to manifest much quicker because you're on the God line. Amen? When you are in your joy, you are in alignment with that which you are from, all that is. It'll put you in alignment with source. It puts you in alignment with your higher self. It puts you in alignment with your inner being. There's so many ways that we can say it, but there's something that is much more powerful than what we do experience here on the physical plane. And that's the thing, that's the source of everything. It is your, you know, I was listening to Unity this morning. It's your connection to nature. We're not separate from nature. Oh, and when you're in your joy, you're in that alignment. You're connected, baby. You're in the flow of life. And things will come easily for you. Your needs will be met. Your desires will manifest. But you got to be in the joy to keep, you know, I told you, the law of attraction is very, very simple. It's broken down to what you think and what you feel. So what we think should be positive or happy and joyous. What we feel should be joy, happiness. And if we're thinking negative things that make us feel bad, we're not plugged into the source. That's it, the bottom line. I can say it over and over again. We could spend 2 years talking about the law of attraction, but it will boil down to those two principles, what you think and what you feel, and it should be good and happy and joyous. It's it. Now, we must have a lot of stuff going on with us that it's too hard for us to do that. We got to go through all these trips, all this discussion, everything. It's too hard for us to be joyous, too hard for us to have happy thoughts, positive thoughts. That's what you should ask yourself, why? Why is it so hard for me to do this? Why do I feel silly fantasizing about a life that I don't even think is possible? Abraham says, we encourage you to decide as early in life as possible that your dominant intent and reason for existence is to live happily ever after. You know, I can remember as a child reading the Cinderella story. And for many women, we are really caught up in the Cinderella story, where we want to meet our knight in shining armor. There's going to be this man that comes into our life and will make us whole and complete, and we'll live happily ever after. And marriage, you know, you have this beautiful wedding, you're dressed in white, you're walking down the aisle, everybody's celebrating, eating cake, drinking champagne, and you think it's just going to be bliss. And it turns out not to be blissful. It's challenging to be married to someone. I had a friend of mine to say, oh my goodness, I love him so much, and we're married and we're together, but now I really have to learn how to love him. Because when you're with someone 24/7, it all changes, doesn't it? So we want to learn to live happily ever after. How do we get that? He says that would be a very good career choice, to gravitate toward those activities and to embrace those desires that harmonize with your core intentions. And your core intentions are freedom and growth. You want to be free and you want to grow. And ultimately, you want to be happy. You want to be joyful. So you want to make a career of living happy, a happy life, rather than trying to find work that will produce enough income that you can do things with your money that will then make you happy. And when feeling happy is of paramount importance to you, and what you do for a living makes you happy, you have found the best of all combinations. You can become very good at feeling good under all conditions, but when you become good at reaching for your vibrational balance first, and then attract circumstances and events to yourself from that happy place, then your potential for sustained happiness is much greater. So here's my question to you guys. Are you happy right now? I just want to know, out of the choices that you have made, are you happy right now? In the chat room, can you tell me, are you happy right now? Anybody, you can press 1 on your telephone keypad and let me know if you've made choices that have made you happy, or if you've made some choices that where you're not quite happy. Good morning, area code 661. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I can definitely say that being laid off of the job, well, but once we do, I feel myself actually.
Okay, so this new phone system that I have here is not allowing me to hear you very well. Hold on 1 second. Let me. I just need you to repeat what you said.
I'm getting laid off of my job, and I definitely felt at happiness, because I'm going to go back into a career that I left. So I'm happy. I'm just, every day I'm just thinking to myself, okay, what are you guys going to lay me off?
I love it. Because you made a decision probably to take this job because it pays some, a certain amount of money, and it could cover your needs, right?
Correct.
And it wasn't about your joy. And now you're being released and probably can collect unemployment and really decide what's going to give you your joy.
Yes, ma'am.
That's it. I love it. You know, I'm very, very proud. I'm going to close your mic, okay? I'm very happy to hear her say this because oftentimes when we do get laid off, we think it's the end. And we go into depression and we're fearful. And she's saying, you know, I am embracing this because now I can move into my joy. When things happen in your life, Dr. Reggie says this all the time. He says, you know, you have to go through something to get to something. So when things are shifting, you need to look at your thoughts and your inner desires to understand what really is going on in your life. You know, she may have been thinking, I really don't like this job. This isn't the right place. But I, you know, until I find that which I really desire, you know, this does cover the rent. And so what has happened here now is she has attracted a circumstance that's going to set her free, but also give her some financial support while she just searches for what she's looking for. But she didn't get caught up in, I'm losing my job. She's not losing anything. She's transitioning to that which she desires. You need to begin, and this is what Abraham is saying. Ask for what you want. Get a clear picture of what you want. Have the courage to say, this is what I want. He's saying do the energy work first, which is clarifying your thought and the feeling so that it is positive, it's clear. And then situations and people will begin to be attracted to that vibration emanating from you so that you move into it. And he's emphasizing that we should be pursuing what gives us freedom and what gives us joy. And that's just not how our society is set up right now, is it? I mean, we have the option, but a lot of times, you know, to try to move people through and keep them in line and get, you know, have them to maximize their potential, we have a lot of guidelines to follow. But they're not really, oftentimes, those guidelines put us in bondage. Okay, so let's move on. So Jerry asked another question. He says, you know, there are cultures still today, usually we call them primitive or savage, who seem to live in the moment. They don't have jobs. In other words, if they're hungry, they just go out and catch a fish or find fruit on a tree. And Abraham says, well, will they be reading this book? No, they won't. They won't be reading this book. What is the basic category of people you believe that will be reading this book? And Jerry says, well, it's going to be people who believe it is essential to have some sort of an income-producing job. And Abraham says, well, what do you believe is the predominant reason that people believe that they should find a career early in life and then pursue it for the rest of their lives? These are very good questions, aren't they? What makes us even believe that? And then Jerry says, well, I can't speak for everyone, but it seems to almost be a moral or an ethical position that we should or that we ought to find work that produces money. In other words, it's considered to be inappropriate for us to receive money without giving something back for it or without being productive in some way. And Abraham said, well, okay, you're right. Most people do feel a need to justify their existence through effort or through work. And that is perhaps the reason why the first question that you ask one another upon meeting for the first time is, what do you do for a living? And now listen to that question and think about when you ask that question and you get an answer back, how you begin to judge that person. What do you do for a living? And listen to the words, a living. So your work really helps you to live? I don't know. Think about it. And so Jerry says, well, for about 40 years, I earned my living by working about an hour and a half a day. And often people would voice a sort of resentment that I could have such an income without putting out more time, which would usually evoke a justification from me, as I would then explain how my energy and how much energy I expended during that 90 minutes and how many years it took me to become good at what I did or how much driving I had to do to even begin my work. In other words, I always felt a need to justify that I was actually paying a fair price for what I was receiving. Isn't that horrible? Here he is just answering that question and then, you know, people go, oh, making judgments because he only works 90 minutes. And I can tell you, if you're only working 90 minutes a day, there's a lot more. You're working more than that. To produce this show every morning, I mean, I'm on the air for 45 minutes. But you should see all of the stuff that I have to do. I got to find guests and send letters, emails out, and letters, and update Facebook. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's a lot more involved than 45 minutes here talking to you guys. Even the time to study, to research, to figure out which book and what information is going to work, what the title of the show would be, it's a lot more than the 45 minutes chatting with you every morning. Yeah, I work 45 minutes, but I do a lot more. So he says when you are in... Abraham says that when you are in vibrational alignment, which means that you are in alignment with the source within you, with God within you, and that your own desires and beliefs are in balance, you never feel a need to justify to another. Many people may attempt to justify their behavior or their ideas to others, but it is never a good idea to use opinions of others as the guide that you are seeking alignment with rather than your own guidance system. Mm. How many of you were seeking approval? Even on your job right now, you're still seeking approval. You know, I have quite a few friends that are going through transitions right now at different levels. And one of the things that comes up quite often in our discussions is, girl, I really don't feel like going to another job where I have to prove myself. What is that saying? I don't want to be judged. I don't want to have to prove that I'm worthy. And if you're feeling that way, do you believe that you're in alignment with Source? No, you're actually coming from a place of fear, are you not? You don't want to walk into a situation like that. Many people, early on in your experience, you attempt to demand your compliance with their rules and their opinions, but if you allow what they want to be central to the decisions that you make, you only get further and further out of alignment with who you really are and with the intentions that you were born with, as well as those that have evolved from the life experience that you are living. You will never experience the deliciousness of feeling free until you release your desire to please others and replace it with your powerful intention to align with who you really are, which means aligning to your source, being in alignment with God, by caring about how you feel and choosing good-feeling thoughts that let you know that you have found your alignment. This morning, I ask you to dare to ask for what you want. Have the courage to ask for what you want. Identify what you really want by the way it makes you feel, not by what others think about your choice. My niece was considering going to law school, and I said, well, you know, if law is what you really want to do, then you should pursue it. And I guess she heard some hesitation in my voice. She said, Auntie, are you trying to tell me not to go to law school? And I said to her, I said, no, baby. I'm telling you to choose what you are passionate about. Choose what will make you happy. Choose something that when you wake up in the morning, you can't wait to go to work. You can't wait to start doing whatever it is that you're doing. And as long as you choose what you're passionate about, you'll be extremely successful. Because it won't seem like work. You'll be going to play every day. She was just so precious in that moment. And it'll always stay with me. When you sense that someone is disapproving of you or attacking you, it is a natural response to defend yourself. But that need to defend will quickly subside when you have trained yourself into alignment with your inner being, because all feelings of vulnerability will have been replaced with a sure-footed sense of who you really are. And I'll be honest, it sneaked up on me. Moving into that state of consciousness actually slipped up on me. I didn't realize I was moving into that space. And really and truthfully, with Circles of Prosperity, I moved into my joy. But I had no idea that this was going to be my joy. I must have had it somewhere. Otherwise, it would not have manifested. But I didn't consciously intend this, but I found it by I don't want to even say that I found it by accident. I think somewhere inside of me it must have been a yearning. I don't know. I can't identify when that happened. But once I moved into this space, all my other desires dropped away. And I felt bad about that for a long time, that I didn't want to get on that treadmill of going to work from 9 to 5. I really felt guilty about it and was trying to justify it. But this work was so fulfilling for me, I couldn't even begin to think about going back to a job from 9 to 5 again. Even the thought now is kind of scary for me, because I want to be in my joy. I've experienced my freedom. I've experienced my freedom. And once you feel that, you don't want to give it up again. You start realizing all of the things that you have sacrificed, all, you know, from your freedom. And this is the greatest gift that we have. Our Constitution says it so beautifully, doesn't it? That we have the right to pursue happiness. So, again, the challenge for you today is to dare to ask for what you want. And on the other side of that is to believe that you can have it. And if you understand the principles that we're teaching here, you know that the universe will always give you what you ask for. And so you just need to trust. Right? We have to trust that these principles do work, and they do. It works. Okay, so Abraham says, no matter what choices you make, there will always be someone who does not agree with those choices. But as you find your balance and maintain your alignment, most who are observing you will be more inclined to ask you what your secret to success is, rather than criticizing you for being successful. And those who continue to criticize you would find no satisfaction in your justification, no matter how compelling your argument is. I think you can't say anything to them that will make them agree with you if they're insisting on finding you wrong. And so why even bother, right? This is a powerful lesson. It is not your role to fix the feeling of lack within others. It is your role to keep yourself in balance. When you allow your society or even one other person to dictate to you what you should want or how you should behave, you will lose your balance because your sense of freedom, which is the core to who you really are, to your very beingness, that's being challenged. So you, when you pay attention to the way you feel and you practice the self-empowering thoughts that align with who you really are, we're talking about source now, we're talking about all that is now, okay? When you make that alignment with your inner being, your higher self, you will offer an example of thriving that will be of tremendous value to those who have the benefit of observing you. They're going to see this light in you and go, oh my God, I want that. Some will be intimidated by that, but that's their problem, is it not? It's not your problem. If they're intimidated, if they're excited for you, if they want to judge you negatively because you are moving in your joy, that is not your problem. You cannot get poor enough to help poor people thrive or sick enough to help sick people get well. You only ever uplift from your position of strength and clarity and alignment. In other words, what Abraham is telling us is that when we move into our joy and when we're moving confidently and continuously connected to source, it is at that point that we are sending a ripple effect throughout the cosmos that causes expansion all around us and throughout the cosmos. We're then uplifting others because they're experiencing someone in their joy, someone connected with source, someone in alignment with God. Wow. You guys are something else. I'm telling you.
Second.
Dr. Reggie, can you take us into our closing prayer this morning?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this lesson, this great, wonderful lesson that we take to our hearts and put in our minds to sow seeds of manifestation, sowing seeds of love and seeds of greatness, knowing who we are and our core is you.
Mm-hmm.
Let us walk in the path of uprightness and right thinking and right doing in all that we do in love. We believe it is so, and so it is.
And so it is. And so it is. Dare to ask for what you want, sweet spirit. Dare to ask for what you want. God bless you. Have a great day.
I heard myself some more.